I want us to turn our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16 as our text for today. It's a highlight and a culmination ng ating anniversary month. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it." I've entitled our message for this morning, "The Biblical Legacy of Walking in the Ancient Paths." The Biblical Legacy of Walking in the Ancient Paths. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Lord, tunay nga, this is the day that you have made and we rejoice and are glad in it. Maraming salamat po aming Panginoon. Pinaabot niyo po kami sa 27 taon ng aming existence bilang Soli Deo Gloria Christian Church. Sa daming mga taon na dumaan, napakarami pong mga experiences na hinarap namin. May mga problema. Marami din, Panginoon, din mga times na nag-rejoice kami dahil sa pinakita ninyong kabutihan ninyo sa aming kalagitnaan. Salamat po na kahit sa mga failures namin, kami po ay inyo pong tinuruan. At lalong lumalim ang aming pananampalataya sa inyo dahil po dito sa mga kapighatian, sakit, karamdaman na aming dinaanan. Salamat po, O Diyos, mabuti man o hindi sa paningin ng iba, ginamit niyo ang lahat ng ito upang lalo kaming maging matatag, lalo po kaming maging katulad ni Kristo para magbigay kaluwalhatian sa inyo. O Lord, we thank you today that we celebrate the culmination of our 27th anniversary. We ask, Father, now that you open our hearts. Help us to understand your word. Help me to deliver your word in such a way that these truths I will share will be impressed deeply upon our minds and upon our hearts. So that this legacy that we have been establishing through the years, we will be able to pass on to the next generation in its purity and power. Lord, maraming salamat po. Be with us now, O God, as we come before you in worship and as we hear your word, so that you may be honored and magnified in all things. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this month of July 2023, we have reached the 27th year of our church life as Soli Deo Gloria Christian Church. And it is the last instance that we will be celebrating our anniversary in this location. The Lord willing, our 28th anniversary will already be in our new church site in Ma'a. Now we thank God for using Myra Wee and her fellow board members in Good Steward Foundation for letting us use these premises free of rent for 3 years until May 2024. More than 2 years ago, our monthly rental was set to increase to 120,000. But when the pandemic arrived, the Lord touched the hearts of the building owners so that they decided to waive the rent. Sabi, o sige, wag na kayong magbayad ng renta. If you do the math, you will realize that in a real sense, Good Steward Foundation has been one of the biggest contributors to our building project. May God bless the board of Good Steward Foundation for their kindness and generosity toward us. Now, in view of our last anniversary celebration in this place, I and the elders of our church decided that for our anniversary, our theme will be passing on a biblical legacy. We thought that this would be a great theme because it will give us an opportunity to reflect on the legacy that we have built and intend to pass on to the coming generations as we close the final chapter of our church life here in this location. Our desire as a congregation is to be the salt of the earth and light of the world, in the words of Matthew chapter 5, 13 up to 14. In other words, we are to be followers of Jesus who preserves society against corruption and moral decay, and at the same time, who illumine the sin-darkened world by sharing the gospel. Now, we can do this best when we maintain our character as being a household of God or church of the living God that upholds, proclaims, preserves, and defends God's truth revealed in Scripture. When we transfer to our new church building, we want to continue to build upon this biblical legacy that we have established in a span of 27 years. Today, I want to draw your attention to what this biblical legacy is in greater detail. And to guide us in my message today, I will be focusing on 4 points. First, what is a legacy? Second, what is a biblical legacy? Third, what is Solideo Gloria Christian Church's first legacy? And then, how can we have a greater hold of this legacy of walking in the ancient paths? So yan ang apat na mga katanungan na gusto kong sagutin ngayon para maintindihan natin itong pinamagatang kong the biblical legacy of walking in the ancient paths. So let me begin with the first point. What is a legacy? Legacy, in its legal sense, means money or property that someone gets by inheritance or by a will. For example, my grandmother, kunyari lang, no? Meron akong lola sa US na napakayaman. Tapos sabihin ko, my grandmother in the US died and left me a legacy of $1 million and a 1-hectare lot in Samal Island. Yan ang isang ibig sabihin ng legacy. In this example, legacy is, according to the Cambridge Dictionary, money or property left to a person by someone who has died. Yan ang isang ibig sabihin ng legacy in its legal sense. But legacy could also have a historical sense. Hindi lang legal, historical sense. Now, here is a definition from Simple English Wikipedia. I quote, sabi doon, in historical terms, a legacy is something that is handed down from one period of time to another period of time. Often it means something handed down from an ancestor or predecessor. End of quote. Now, itong ilang examples. Halimbawa, the retiring company president left a legacy of honesty and integrity. Or, he left his children a legacy of love and respect. Or, her artistic legacy lives on through her children. So, tingnan nyo, hindi pera pinag-uusapan dito, hindi kayamanan ang pinag-iusapan dito, pero yung magandang katangian ng mga magulang na pinasa nila sa kanilang mga anak. Now, legacy may also refer to the direct result of particular events or actions that took place in the past, and its impact, positive or negative, continues to exist after it is over. For example, tingnan nyo, halimbawa, no, ulitin ko, no? Ito yung resulta ng mga pangyayari noong nakaraan. At ito ay nararamdaman pa, no? Na-experience pa yung impact nito ay nararamdaman pa ng mga naiwan ng mga tao, for example, ngayon. For example, the war left a legacy of pain and suffering. So, tingnan nyo, dahil sa gera, yung resulta ng gera, nagkaroon ng kapighatian at pagdurusa yung mga tao dun sa bansang yon, for example, hanggang sa ngayon. So, tingnan nyo, tumatagal pa yung impact na yon, no? Or, another example, a legacy of inequality and injustice was created by apartheid. So, another example yun, no? Dahil dun sa parang mababang pagtingin ng isang grupo ng mga tao sa isang racial group. So, ang naging epekto nito, nag-iwan ito ng impact dun sa bansa, halimbawa, na patuloy ang inequality and injustice. So yan ay tinatawag din na legacy. Pero ang gusto kong tutukan ay ang tinatawag nating biblical legacy. So ano ang biblical legacy? O ang ibig kong sabihin, pag sinabing biblical legacy, ito ay yung mga magandang katangian na natanggap natin mula sa scriptures. And so, I am not referring to church buildings or other properties, for example, that our church owns. Yung pong building na pinapatayo natin, hindi yon ang biblical legacy natin. Hindi yon. Ang pinag-usapan natin, yung nakalagay sa Bible, yung mga building, hindi yan biblical legacy. For example, si Jesus Christ, ang ating Panginoon, did not want us to focus on material legacy. Yan ang makikita nating paulit-ulit na tinuturo niya, hindi yung kayamanan, hindi yung possessions, hindi yung building, hindi yung mga lupa. Ang legacy na gusto niyang ipasa natin. For example, sa Matthew 16 verse 26, it says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Kahit na buong mundo pa, buong planetang Earth pa ang ibigay mo sa iyong anak. Sabi niya, baliwala yon. Kung ang kaluluwa mo naman ay maiimpyerno. Matthew chapter 6 verse 19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." So hindi yung mga kayamanan natin, hindi yung ginto, hindi yung pilak dahil ito'y ninanakaw, hindi yung mga building dahil ito'y nagigiba ng lindol, for example. Luke chapter 12 verses 13 to 15, tita niyo yung magandang pangyayari dito. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." O, hindi dahil marami kang mga lupa, marami kang mga bahay na pagka tinipon mo to, baka abutin pa ng bilyon ang cost. At ito ang ibibigay mo na inheritance or legacy sa iyong mga anak. Sabi ni Jesus Christ, that is not what one's life consists of. No, hindi yun ang tunay na buhay na marami kang mga ari-arian, marami kang kayamanan at nagmana ka ng ganito at ng ganyang mga material na bagay mula sa iyong mga ninuno. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17, Paul says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." So hindi yung material na kayamanan ang pinag-uusapan natin pag sinabi nating biblical legacy. I repeat, gold and silver corrode, buildings and structures get destroyed by earthquakes, clothes fade and go out of style, other material possessions will go to the garage sale, money loses its value, technology becomes obsolete. So material legacy is not what matters. Hindi yun ang sinasabi ng Bible na legacy na nais niya, na nais ng Bible na ipasa natin o tanggapin natin at ipasa sa susunod na generation. A biblical legacy is immaterial and spiritual. It relates to the gospel and other essential doctrines of the Christian faith. It refers to ethics. It refers to our core values that are grounded in Scripture. Biblical ethics, biblical legacy refers to Christ-like character, to a reputation that has tremendous impact and can encourage and guide future generations. A biblical legacy is something that people will remember and treasure. Now, the Bible is replete with information regarding legacy. Ang dami nating makikita sa Biblia na pinag-uusapan legacy. Now, let me just begin with the legacy of Jesus. Tingnan niyo ang natanggap nating legacy mula sa Panginoong Jesus. Well, Jesus' entire life and ministry left behind the greatest legacy of all. Ano yun? The gift of salvation. eternal life. Sabi ng John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Sabi ng John 5:24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment but has passed from death to life." Yan ang legacy na nais ni Jesus Christ na tanggapin natin. Another na legacy ni Jesus, the revelation of God and His words. Sabi ng John 17 verses 6 to 8, sabi ni Jesus, "I have manifested your name," referring to God the Father, "your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know the truth. To know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me." So ito yung revelation, yung tamang pagkakakilala sa Panginoon. Ang daming mga tao ngayon dito sa mundong ito, mali ang understanding nila patungkol sa Panginoong Diyos. Hindi nila alam kung ano yung katotohanan, kung ano salita ng Panginoon. At itong binigay ni Jesus Christ, pinasa niya sa kanyang iglesia. Ano pa? Yung mga good deeds ng ating Panginoong Jesus. Sabi ng John 13 verse 15, "For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you." 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, that He," Jesus, "laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives to the brothers." Tingnan niyo tong legacy na to, yung example ni Jesus, yung kanyang sacrifice, yung kanyang humility, yung kanyang pag-ibig sa atin, nais niya na yon ay gawin din natin at ipasa sa iba. The Holy Spirit and world evangelization or evangelism, that's part of the legacy we receive from Christ. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now, this did not stop when the original apostles died. No, this continues on. No, kaya yung mga disciples, unang disciples ni Jesus, pinasa ito dun sa mga tao. No, and then, yun, natanggap nilang banal na Espiritu Santo, and they continued to have this vision of world evangelism. That's a legacy that we have received, that Jesus Christ passes on. And then another is discipleship. Matthew 28, 19 to 20, it says, Jesus Christ says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Yan ang gusto ng Panginoong Jesus na gawin natin. Yan ang natanggap nating command to make disciples. And sabi dito ng Panginoong Jesus, "I will always be with you to the end of the age." Ibig sabihin, hanggang maguna, hanggang matapos itong present world na ito, nais ng Panginoong Jesus na gawin natin ito, to go into the world and make disciples. Now, there are other New Testament examples of legacy. Hindi lamang mula kay Jesus Christ na directly na nakita natin dito, pero meron ding lalo na sa mga sinulat ni Pablo, mag-focus lang ako sa mga writings ni Paul. For example, tutukan ko itong 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, may kita natin regarding faith as a legacy. Kaya sabi ni Paul, 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." So kausap ni Pablo, sinulatan niya si Timothy, sabi niya, yung faith ng lola mo, yung faith ng nanay mo, ngayon ay nasa iyo. So anong pinag-uusapan dito? Tingnan niyo, parang isang legacy, parang ito yung faith nung lola, napasa sa anak, yung nanay, tapos yung nanay, pinasa kay Timothy. Yun yung legacy yung pinag-usapan natin. Sound teaching is another. Sabi ni Paul sa 2 Timothy chapter 1, 13 to 14, pakinggan ninyo to, "Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Itong deposit na to, hindi ito material, ito yung pattern of sound words na narinig mula kay Pablo. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Kita niyo yung idea ng legacy? Itong narinig ni Timothy mula kay Paul, pasa niya sa mga faithful witnesses at yung mga faithful witnesses niya at mga teachers, faithful men at saka teachers of God's Word will pass it on to others who will be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Kita niyo, pare-pareho yung sense dito eh. Yung natutunan ng mga disciples, natutunan ni Timothy mula kay Paul, gusto ni Paul, Timothy, ipasa mo ito sa iba. At yung pinasahan mo niyan, ipasa na naman sa susunod, sa mga iba rin. Preaching the word is another legacy na binigyang diin ni Pablo. So we find in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 to 4, sabi doon, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Kaya nga sinasabi ni Pablo, patuloy kang mag-preach ng salita ng Panginoong Diyos whether it is uso o hindi. In season or out of season. No, and patuloy na mag-rebuke, mag-exhort, magturo with patience, great patience. Okay, dahil darating yung time na yung mga tao ayaw nang makinig ng mga katotohanan mula sa Biblia. What we want to do as a church is to be intentional in building and leaving a legacy to the next generation. Itong tinatayo nating legacy ay hindi atin lang, ito ay yung galing sa Biblia. We want to leave something that is not tangible, na nahahawakan, like a piece of property, but something that is Christian, spiritual, and scriptural. Yan ang legacy na gusto nating ipasa. Yan ang ibig sabihin natin pag sinabing biblical legacy. Now, let me go to the third point. What is Solideo Gloria Christian Church's first legacy? Alam niyo, ginawa kong first legacy kasi habang pinag-iisipan ko ng mabuti ito, maraming aspeto. Hindi ko mai-share sa inyo lahat. I can't share with you all of the legacies that we have built on throughout the years. Kasi pag ginawa ko yon, kukulangin ng isang oras at kalahati na pag-aaral natin. So, I'll just focus on the first legacy. Ito yung talagang nag-strike masyado sa akin. The first legacy that we have built through the years and want to pass on to the next generation is this. Listen very carefully. It is the legacy of walking in the ancient paths. Yung iba sa inyo, hindi na siguro naabutan. No, nagbigay ako ng series on walking in the ancient paths according to Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16. I think if I'm not mistaken, I gave 4 messages on this more than 20 years ago. And this is a message I kept on repeating when other churches invite me to share God's word. Kasi nakita ko, this is so important. What does Jeremiah 6:16 say? Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. Let me just stop there. So ito ang nais kong talagang i-impress sa atin ng mabuti, and hopefully by God's grace and mercy, we will be able to pass on to the future generations. The legacy of walking in the ancient paths. Now what's the context of Jeremiah? Jeremiah's message in this book was of doom, directed mostly to his people in Judah. This chosen nation had not entirely abandoned God. They still worship in the temple. Their prophets still prophesied in God's name, and their priests still continued to offer sacrifices. Only, they were doing it in their own way and not God's way. They had turned to another path, one that was marked by idolatry and apostasy. They were being led by false visions and dreams and false prophets. Now, Jeremiah indicts the nation for disobedience to the law of Moses, and he warned them against a false confidence in the covenant the nation had with God. So, kumbaga, pinagalitan ni Jeremiah itong mga kababayan niya from Judah. Dahil ang tigas ng ulo nila, hindi na nila sinusunod yung kautosang galing kay Moses. Pinangahawakan nila, mga anak kami ng Panginoon, circumcised kami, konektado kami kay Moses, konektado kami kay Abraham. Pinangahawakan nila yung kanilang pangalan, kumbaga, na pagiging mga Hudyo. Pero ano sabi ni Jeremiah sa kanila? He told them that the temple would be no refuge for their sins. Both the people and the leaders of Judah have wandered from the right path. Jeremiah therefore admonishes them to return to the ancient paths of biblical doctrine, worship, and daily living. Hindi pwede yung ginagawa nyo. Hindi porket sabi mo, circumcised kami, Hudyo kami, we belong to this or to that tribe. No, kami ay may covenant relationship sa Panginoon. O talaga? Ba't hindi nyo sinusunod yung salita ng Panginoon Diyos? To be more specific, what Jeremiah means by walking in the ancient paths includes the following. It includes acknowledgement of Yahweh as Israel's only sovereign Lord. It includes faithfulness to the covenant established by God with Israel through Moses at Mount Sinai. It includes glad acceptance of the law. It includes a godly conduct and attitude that was more important than rituals and sacrifices. Kasi ang ginagawa ng iba, mag-o-offer sila ng sacrifices sa Panginoon, pero lalamangan nila at lolokohin nila yung kanilang kapwa. Akala nila, porkit nag-offer sila ng sacrifice, okay na yun sa Diyos. Kahit na nanlamang ako ng kapwa ko, kahit na gumawa ako ng maraming kalokohan, nag-sacrifice naman ako . No, parang walang pinagkaiba yan dun sa mga taong sabihin nila, nag-pray naman ako ng rosary, nag-novena naman ako araw-araw, pero nandaraya siya sa kanyang mga business transactions, dinodoktor niya yung timbangan niya pag nagbebenta siya ng isda sa palengke, pero sinasabi niya, nagpe-pray naman ako, seryoso naman ako sa aking reliyon, every Sunday nagsisimba ako, or kung protestante, maaring ganun. Every Sunday, umaati naman akong worship services, pero hindi inaayos yung ibang aspeto ng kanilang buhay na sinasabi ng Bibliang dapat ayusin. Yun ang kanilang pinangahawakan. Pinangahawakan nila yung kanilang pangalan, again, by way of application, parang isang tao na nominal Christian, pinangahawakan niya yung kanyang sabihin nating membership dun sa church. Pinangahawakan niya na siya ay baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Pero sa totoo, ang kanyang buhay ay salungat. It is totally, his life is totally opposite to what Scripture teaches. Now, this call to return and walk in the ancient paths is just as relevant to the church today as it was thousands of years ago when Jeremiah addressed it to Judah. Just like God's chosen people in the Old Testament, the church at certain times in history has also departed from the ancient paths by holding to a philosophy of life and ministry that is directed by something else other than the Bible. One of my heroes of the faith, Martin Lloyd-Jones, said, "Every institution tends to produce its opposite." He was right in saying that. We must not assume that because a local church started correctly, that she will continue to be so. You know, some departures from the ancient paths that I have witnessed in my lifetime are the following. 1, health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Konektado dito, the positive confession movement. Nang sinasabi ang ebanghelyo, yung will ng Panginoong Diyos na kayo ay yumaman. Yan ang magandang balita. Na pagka nagbigay kayo ng 10% ng inyong tithes, 100-fold ang ibibigay ng Panginoon. Kaya pag ikaw ay pulubi, pag wala kang magandang kotse, wala kang magandang bahay, hindi maganda yung damit mo, hindi signature yung jeans mo, ibig sabihin, nagkakasala ka. The prosperity gospel. Isa pa sa mga pagkakamali na narinig ko in my life is charismatic abuses. Nabalitaan o narinig nyo na ba noon tungkol sa sasabihin ng isa na yung communion gagamitin, ibubuhos yung communion, itatapon yung bahagi ng tinapay kung saan silang lugar dahil ang nasa isipan nila, pag ginawa nila to, magtatakbuhan o mawawala yung mga demonyo dun sa teritoryo o sa lugar na yon. Kasama dito sa charismatic abuses, yung mga laughing revival. Meron nung time na yun, siguro ngayon, hindi na uso yun, na pagka may mga gathering sila, tawanan ng tawa. And thinking, yan, ibig sabihin niya, nandyan na yung Holy Spirit, kumikilos na. And then, meron din yung tinatawag na dominion theology. Ang dominion theology, ito yung pag-iisip na ang biblical Christianity, dapat siya ang nagru-rule sa lahat ng areas ng society, personal or corporate. Ang tingin ng iba patungkol dito na trabaho ng mga Kristiyano to create a worldwide kingdom patterned after the Mosaic Law. Ang paniwala nila na hindi babalik si Jesus Christ sa mundong ito hanggat hindi ang mga mananampalataya ang nagko-control sa iba't ibang mga aspeto ng ating society. Dapat ang mga Kristiyano should take dominion over this world. Dominion theology. Naabutan ko rin yung tinatawag na back to Judaism. May mga kaibigan ako na gano'n na balik sa Judaism. So nagsusuot na ng mga damit na suot ng mga Hudyo. Ang gusto nilang mga kanta, puro Hebrew. Ang gusto nilang tawag sa pangalan sa Panginoong Diyos, puro Hebrew. Pati si Jesus Christ gusto Hebrew na pangalan ng pagtawag sa Kanya. At ang kanilang isipan, the more na marami kang nitong Hebrew element, the more na sumusunod ka dito sa kaparaanan ng Judaism, mas malalim ang spirituality mo. Isa pang naabutan ko sa buhay ko is hyper grace. Ito yung katuruan na nagsasabi na kumbaga dahil tayo ay pinatawad na ng Panginoon, ako hindi na kinakailangan mag-repent at mag-confess ng ating mga kasalanan. Isang elemento yon na tinuturo at binibigyan ng diin sa hyper grace. Another na naabutan ko is the integration of Bible and psychology. Pinapasok ang psychology sa Biblia, kaya pagdating ng counseling, hindi biblical counseling ang ginagawa, kundi more on psychology. Another na naabutan ko is pragmatism. Pragmatism is the principle that the end justifies the means. Para sa isang pragmatist, yung pag may ginawa kang aksyon, pagka yung naging bunga nun, maganda para sa'yo, tama yung paraan na ginawa mo. Kahit na unbiblical yun, basta importante. Kunyari, kung ang ginawa nyo sa stage, nagsayawan kayo, nagkantaan kayo, may mga drama kayo lagi, yun yung nakapagpadala ng maraming mga taong umattend ng church ninyo on a weekly basis, sabihin ng mga leaders, ito na gagawin natin, dapat wag na tayong mag-preach ng matagal. 15 minutes na lang yung preaching, karamihan, drama-drama na lang tayo, may mga skits tayo na gagawin dito, tapos pakainin lang natin yung mga tao, tapos yung mga, may mga strobe lights tayo rito, parang diskohan at ganun gawin natin. Aba, biruin yun, nung ginawa natin yun, dumami tao. Yung ganung approach ay tinatawag na pragmatism. So, ang ginagawa ng mga pastor, kumukuha sila ng survey. Tinatanong yung mga tao, anong gusto ninyo sa isang service para kayo ay babalik pa uli sa susunod na linggo? O, di pag nakakuha sila ng survey, ay, ito pala gusto ng mga tao. Pragmatism yung tawag sa kaparaanang yon. Sa ngayon, naririnig na natin, o siguro hindi pa masyadong maliwanag sa maraming tao dito sa atin, pero sa Amerika, meron ang tinatawag na wokeism. Yung wokeism ay kasama, konektado dun sa litang awake. Parang bang ikaw ay awake sa mga problema at kasalanan na nangyayari sa mundo. Pero yung salamin na ginagamit mo, ikaw ay naging awake, naging bukas ang mata mo, na narealize mo, ah, kaya pala may problema ang nangyayari sa mundo. Kasi yung kulay ng aking balat, dahil ako ay puti, ako ay oppressor ng mga itim. Lahat ng bagay, lahat ng problema ang nangyayari sa mundo, lalo na sa Amerika, tinitingnan sa pamamagitan ng lens ng race, ng kulay ng balat. Kaya forever, yung mga puti dapat nagsisisi sa kanilang mga kasalanan, sabi ng mga woke theologians. At yung mga itim, lagi nilang nararamdaman that they are always victims. Nawala na yung grace ng Panginoong Diyos. Nawala na yung kilos ng Panginoon. Nawala na yung kapatawaran na ginawa ni Jesus. Forever kang nasa ilalim ng kasalanan pagka ikaw ay nandito sa wokeism na tinatawag. And then another ngayon sa mundo, lalo na again sa Amerika, yung tinatawag na deconstruction. Deconstructionism. Ito yung mga nangyari among Christian circles na itong proseso ng pagtatanong tungkol sa kanilang pananampalataya na ngayon, dahil sa mga experiences nila na bago, dahil sa mga nababasa nila, dahil nakikipag-engage sila sa pakikipag-usap sa iba't ibang grupo ng mga tao, ngayon, kino-question na nila yung mga orthodox teachings ng Christianity. Hindi na sila nagsasubmit sa mga nire-recognize ng mga authorities sa church. Hindi na nila nire-recognize yung mga elders, yung mga pastors, lalo na pag tinuturo nila yung salita ng Panginoon. Merong ang isang kilalang preacher sa Amerika na dati, yung kanyang tatay, talagang ibang klase pagdating sa salita ng Diyos. Pero nung pumalit na itong kanyang anak, hindi na siya naniniwala na ang Bible inerrant, na walang pagkakamali, at ang Bible ang final authority sa buhay natin. Hindi niyo masyado mahalata. Pag magtuturo siya, hindi na niya sinasabing Scripture says. Alam niyo kanya sinasabi, Jesus says. The apostles say, ang kanyang binibigyan ng diin, sabi niya, ang Christianity ay hindi nakabase sa Bible. Hindi tayo naniniwala ang Christianity ay totoo dahil sa sinabi ng Bible. Sabi niya, tayo ay naniniwala sa Christianity because Jesus rose again from the grave. That's the basis of our Christianity. Sounds good. But when you really think about it, it will destroy the faith. Dahil ngayon, yung mga mananampalataya, they now question the Bible. Ingatan natin yung mga ganito. Another is yung issue about LGBTQI+. Maraming mga Protestant denominations ngayon, pinapayagan na ang same-sex marriage. Yung kanilang view sa sexual orientation, ang tingin nila kahit ano ka man, kahit na ikaw ay bayot, kahit ikaw ay lesbian, kahit ikaw ay straight, yan ay regalo ng Panginoong Diyos sa iyo. So, human sexual orientations, whether heterosexual or homosexual, are a gift from God and part of the marvelous diversity of creation. By the way, itong binasa ko ngayon is from the, ito yung from the United Church of Canada in year 2000. Yan ang kanilang tingin. Regalo ito ng Panginoong Diyos. Kung ang tingin mo, ikaw ay gay, ikaw ay lesbian, ano lang yan, regalo yun ng Panginoong Diyos sa'yo. Again, itong mga ito, ang tanong, ito ba'y nasa Bible? Ano ang sinasabi ng salita
ng Panginoong Diyos. So in light nitong mga bagay na ito na naabutan ko, I'm talking about myself. Yung iba dito siguro sa inyo, hindi nyo na alam yung mga iba rito. Pero what does it mean to walk in the ancient paths according to Jeremiah chapter 6? Well, ayon dito sa principle ng walking in the ancient paths, pagka dumating at hinarap mo itong ganitong klaseng mga pagtuturo na kontra sa salita ng Panginoon, o di kaya ay duda ka, ano ba to? Galing ba to sa Panginoon o hindi? What do you do? According to the Jeremiah 6:16 principle, according to the principle of itong legacy na gusto nating idiin of walking in the ancient paths, three things. It means stand, ask, and walk. Stand, ask, and walk. Yung stand, galing ito dun sa stand at the crossroads and look. Ano ibig sabihin nun? Ang ibig kong sabihin itong stand is don't act on impulse. Be discerning. Pagka ikaw ay dumating sa isang crossroad, nagsalubong ang dalawang kalye, hindi mo alam, kakanan ba ako? Kakaliwa ba ako? Saan ako? Ano? Huwag kang sumabay lang kung saan maraming mga taong pumupunta, na lahat pumupunta dito sa kanan o dito siguro ko sasabay. Hindi. Stand first. Tumayo ka lang muna. Huwag kang padalos-dalos. Huwag kang pabigla-bigla sa iyong desisyon. Tumayo ka muna. When you are presented with new ideas, don't immediately believe them. Stand and look. Stand first. Stop. Don't enter any path mindlessly na hindi ka na nag-iisip. Eh siguro dito ang tama eh. Ang dami pumupunta dito sa daan ng to eh. No. We are then to look. This means we are to find out, to consider, to inspect, to examine, to discern. Maging discerning tayo. Ito yung stand. Pangalawa, we are to ask. Sabi rito, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is. Magtanong tayo, ask for biblical and historical precedents. Ano sinasabi ng history patungkol dito? Ano sinasabi ng mga maayos na teachers patungkol dito? Ask the right questions. Ang tanong is this biblical? Is this how the apostles and the Lord Jesus do it? Ito ba yung paraan na gagawin nila ito kung sila yung nandito sa ganitong klaseng sitwasyon? Huwag yung tanong na, is this effective? Is this producing church growth? Do the people like this? Do the people enjoy this? Hindi. Dapat ang tanong, ano, ito ba'y ayon sa Biblia? Another question, what does church history teach regarding this? Mga tanong tulad ng, eto by the way, ang ganda ng mga creeds. Now, hindi number one ang creeds sa atin. Hindi tayo creedal church. Hindi tayo pag-worship natin, nire-recite natin yung the Apostles' Creed. Hindi natin ginagawa yon. Pero may tulong na malaki yung creeds. Merong mga nakalagay doon na maggagabay sa atin ano ang pananaw ng church history patungkol sa mga bagay na ito. So it is okay, in a sense, to check what does the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, the Chalcedonian Creed say regarding this. Kasi alam nyo, baka kulto na yung lumalabas, wala namang, there's nothing new under the sun, kung tutuusin. I-check natin with the confessions, tulad ng mga Westminster Confession of Faith, Augsburg or 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. Hindi tayo nag-agree sa lahat ng nakalagay doon, pero maraming nakalagay doon na magbibigay ng insight sa atin na tama. Or isang tanong din, how would godly pastors view this? Kung tatanungin natin yung mga godly pastors and teachers of the Word of God, tulad nila Augustine, nila Martin Luther, nila John Calvin, yung mga Puritans, si Jonathan Edwards, si Charles Haddon Spurgeon, si Martin Lloyd-Jones, si James Boyce, si R.C. Sproul, si John Piper, si John MacArthur, and other defenders of the evangelical faith, ano ang kanilang sasabihin patungkol sa mga bagay na ito? Pero tingnan nyo, no? Nagsimula tayo sa Bible. Kasi ibig sabihin, itong mga iba, yung church history, yung creeds, yung confessions, yung mga pastor, they can also make mistakes. But again, meron silang mga sinasabi na makakatulong sa atin makita, ah, ito pala sabi ng Bible. So we ask for biblical and historical precedents. Ikatlo, walk. Ibig sabihin ito, don't just mentally accept itong mga principles na sinishare ko sa inyo. We must follow them. Sabi ng Bible, sabi ni Jeremiah, walk in it. Walk implies walking along continually. It means to persevere in the ancient paths. It's not just to try once and then discontinue if it appears not to work. No, to walk is not just to talk about it using anecdotes and illustrations and those who have gone the way of the ancient paths. To walk in it is to really follow in the path of the ancient paths personally and perseveringly. Kahit na may opposition, kahit na mawalan ka ng mga kaibigan, kahit umalis pa yung mga ibang members ng church dahil sa tayo mo, continue to walk. Sabi ng 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10 up to chapter 4 verse 5, ito sabi ni Pablo na may connection dito sa principle of walking. Sabi ni Pablo, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so he continues, sabi niya, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That's an expansion of walking in the ancient paths. Pinahaba lang. Pero yun yung idea na gustong idiin dito. Let me give you a personal illustration. In 1995, the denomination we were affiliated with succumbed to an unbiblical philosophy of ministry. And this was introduced by the lead pastor of that church we were connected with. And he branded it as the new paradigm. For him, that was the new work of God. Listen to several quotations that I have taken from his sermons, from his writings, during the period of December 20, 1995 up to 1996. Ito mga sinabi niya. He says, the great tragedy in all these is that the Philippines has been left behind in Asia. We who were at the top in Asia after the war are now considered the basket case. Domestic helpers, prostitutes, and illegal aliens in other countries. Why? Materialism holds sway. Integrity is rare. Corruption runs rampant. Immorality is widespread. Discipline is a wreck. Selfism reigns. Okay, tama, no? Sabi niya, tinan niyo nangyayari sa bansa ngayon ng Pilipinas. Dati, top tayo. Ngayon, nasa ilalim na tayo. Nasa basura na tayo. Yung mga domestic helpers, yung mga ganito, mga prostitutes, etc. Oh, ngayon, itong tuloy niya. Christianity in the Philippines, this is according to him, has fallen into much disrepute. Ministers suffer from integrity crisis. So itong sitwasyon ng mundo, ang Pilipinas, itong itsura ng Kristyanismo sa Pilipinas. Dagdag niya, the world will go through a hyper change and business will be its greatest enterprise. And even in our country, the majority of the fishes Christians will catch are in or will be in business. Tinan nyo kung paano nyo dinadali yung pag-uusap. Corrupt ang Pilipinas. Bumagsak na. Ang Kristyanismo at mga preachers, bagsak na sa Pilipinas. Pero, tingnan nyo ang nangyayari sa mundo. Business, umaasenso. Mga tao, nagiging businessmen. Ito ang kilalang kilala. Ito ang talagang matunog na nangyayari sa buong mundo. Yun ang binibigyan niya diin. Tapos sabi niya, today, the businessmen have become the successful preachers because of their ethical standards, producing good work and good pay. The fishes Christians intend to catch follow them and their message or religion. Ano sinasabi niya? Dito ngayon na nangyari sa mundo, yung mga businessmen na ang preacher, not in the sense na Christian preachers. Ibig sabihin, kung ang businessman ay Muslim, ang nako-convert niya sa kanyang relihiyon dahil successful businessman niya, eh yung mga gusto sana nating makuha at madala sa Kristyanismo. Pero dahil siya ay effective preacher, dahil sa kanyang successful business, naaagaw niya itong mga tupang ito na dapat sana naging Kristiyano. O tinan niyo, binibigyan niya ng diin, yung business, yung successful businessman. Kaya pag nagpipreach siya nun sa amin, yung mga examples niya, tingnan niyo si ganito, tingnan niyo yung coach ni Michael Jordan, tingnan niyo si Matsushita, tingnan niyo itong mga puro successful businessman yung binibigay niyang illustration. So, sabi niya, Christians do not realize this new world they live in. Pastors in the old paradigm with their bariotic view and blindness to unbelievers' view of Christians are doomed to fall. Ano sinasabi niya rito? Sinasabi niya, yung dating paraan na ginagawa niyo to share the gospel to people by means of evangelizing, one-on-one sharing the gospel, sabi niya, that will not work anymore. Ang mag-work ngayon, eh ganito, kayong mga pastor, huwag niyong tawagin ang sarili niyong pastor, mas maganda tawagin niyong inyong mga sarili, human resource consultants, and then ayusin niyo buhay niyo, mag-handle kayo, maggawa kayo ng mga lectures dito sa mga opisina, at ipakita niyo maganda buhay niyo, pakita niyo successful kayo, then turuan niyo yung mga tao ng morality, imbis na i-share niyo yung gospel. Huwag kayong patatawag na pastor, huwag kayong magdadala ng Bible. Kung gagamit kayo ng Bible, use it as an illustration book. Huwag kayong magpe-praise the Lord, praise the Lord publicly. Don't do that. But just try to be good. Try to be a good example and be successful. And as much as possible, kung pwede, be a businessman. Successful businessman. And then, pag nakita ng mga hinahandalan mo na Bible study, wow, ang yaman na nito. Tatanungin ka, they will ask you, how come you're so wealthy? How come you're so successful? Tell them the good things that you're doing. Talk about your good ethics. Talk about your hard work. Then they will copy you. They will follow you. And then eventually, they will also become rich. And then one day, when they're rich, start slowly, in small portions, share the gospel. Hopefully, some of them will be interested. and believe in Jesus Christ. Yun yung approach ng new paradigm. That's the new way of doing things. Yun ang kanilang sinabi. Yun ang kanyang sinabi ng lead pastor. Yun ang kanyang binibigyan ng diin. So, how did we apply? How did I apply the walking in the ancient paths principle that Jeremiah prescribed? What did we do? The leaders who were with me. We stood first and looked. We did not immediately join the bandwagon. Sakay yung mga iba. Uy, okay to ginagawa ng church na to. Ayos. Tayo? Hindi, teka muna. Tayo muna tayo. Stand. Let's look. Huwag tayong padalos-dalos. Huwag tayong padadala kaagad. Hindi dahil yung church na pinanggalingan natin noon was one of the fastest growing charismatic churches at that time. Alam nyo, pang mga services na, they have multiple services. Ang isang service nila, I think from 1,500 to 2,000 per service. May apat na service or even more noon. Pagka ikaw ay aaten ng second service, nakapila ka ng matagal bago ka makapasok doon sa loob. It was one of the fastest growing churches in the 1980s, yung church natin dati. It is so easy to be tempted to follow what that pastor said because it came from a successful church leader. That is not the way of walking in the ancient paths. To walk in the ancient paths is to stand first and look. Be discerning. Number two, we ask questions. Is the new paradigm in accordance with the way of scriptures? I and other leaders went through the toilsome process of studying church history, reviewing the gospel, reading the books of Martin Lloyd-Jones, reading the books of John MacArthur, tulad ng Ashamed of the Gospel, and other things, and going through our theology of the sovereignty of God once more, and finally we came up with this conclusion. The new paradigm is unbiblical. It is pragmatism. It betrays a lack of trust in the Holy Spirit's ability to use the gospel and His word to transform people. It is actually Pelagianism. Pelagianism is believing that the will of man is so free that he can turn and become a new creature anytime. But the Bible teaches that salvation is because of the acts of God renewing men, opening their hearts, making them respond to the gospel by turning away from sin and putting their trust in Jesus Christ. And so the new paradigm, in effect, denies the sovereignty of God in salvation of man, and it denies the Bible's teaching of man's total depravity. Alam niyo, yung time na yon, I wrote a position paper to show how unbiblical the new paradigm was. I talked to the senior pastor humbly, asking to bring clarification to the issues to no avail. I talked with others who were in agreement with me and those also who were in disagreement just to hear the different perspectives. And still, I came to what does the Bible say regarding this? So that is asking questions. And finally, I walked in the biblical path. I walked in the ancient paths. You know, when we finally made the decision, we will not follow the new paradigm. You know what happened? We lost, in a sense, the material things in connection with our church. We lost our library. I lost most of my books. We lost our radio ministry. In 1 year, we had to transfer from one place to another. In 1 year, 7 beses tayo nagtalon-talon para may mahanapan tayo na paglalagyan ng ating church service. We lost some of our members. Some of them were already friends. Kaibigan na natin yung mga iba sa kanila. We lost them. I lost yung mga kaibigan ko in the Central Church. Nangyari yon. But then I said, no, I am going to walk. And the leaders who joined me said, we are going to walk in the ancient paths. And what was the benefit of standing, asking, walking? Jeremiah says, and you will find rest for your souls. This means that you will have the confidence that you are doing God's will. You will have peace. You will have the favor of God. You will be unshakable. Not only will this bring rest to your soul, but it will bring salvation to others. That's what we did. That's why, eto, we have this church now, Soli Deo Gloria. After we left, I've been praying to the Lord and asking Him, Lord, what do we call our new church? Our church that's separated from the previous one. And I felt, that was the time I was reading church history, reading the writings of Martin Lloyd-Jones, and then I realized, wow, what we're experiencing right now is no different from what happened during the Reformation. And that is the reason why we called ourselves Soli Deo Gloria, because that is one of the five battle cries of the Reformation period during the 16th century. That is where we find the five solas. Sola Scriptura. Bible is final authority. Bible is inerrant. Bible is sufficient for our faith, for our conduct. It must be the only basis. Not what popes say, not what pastors say, not what creeds even say. No. What does the Bible say? Final authority, sola scriptura. And then there's the gospel, sola fide, means faith alone. Sola gratia, meaning grace alone. We're not saved by good works. Solus Christus, through Christ alone can we be saved. All of these three solas are connected to the gospel. And then, soli Deo Gloria. Scriptures came from God alone. The gospel came from God alone. The result is because of the work of God alone. So all glory must return to Him alone. Soli Deo Gloria. And so whenever you hear the name Soli Deo Gloria, remember the 16th century Reformation. Whenever you remember the 16th century Reformation, connect that to what happened to our church 27 years ago. We walked according to the ancient paths. So now, the final question. How can we have a greater hold of this legacy of walking in the ancient paths? What safeguards can we set so that by God's grace we do not stray away from the ancient paths? Let me answer this question by way of this illustration. In March 1887, Spurgeon published in his monthly magazine, The Sword and the Trowel, an article titled, The Downgrade. The article was written by Spurgeon's friend, Robert Schindler, but published anonymously. Schindler wrote that some ministers were on a slippery slope or downgrade away from essential evangelical doctrines. So no 1887, nagpa-publish si Spurgeon ng magazine, Sword and the Trowel ang pangalan. Nag-publish siya ng isang article ang title, The Downgrade. Hindi sinulat ni Spurgeon kung saan galing yon article na yon. Pero ang sumulat noon ay si Robert Schindler. Bakit niya tinawag na downgrade? Ito yung para kang dumulas pababa. You're on a slippery slope. palayo dito sa essential evangelical doctrines. The downgrade controversy was about doctrinal matters that went to the very heart of Christian orthodoxy. And Spurgeon was concerned that some within the Baptist denomination were either flirting with or in some cases openly promoting the following errors. So yun ang nakita ni Spurgeon. Sabi niya, bakit may mga Baptists na nakikipaglaro dito sa naniniwala dito sa mga maling katuruan na to, tulad ng the denial of the infallibility of Scripture, the denial of the necessity and substitutionary nature of Christ's atonement, the denial of the existence and eternality of hell, the affirmation of universalism. Ibig sabihin, lahat ng mga tao, kahit ano ka pang religion, eventually maliligtas ka. May mga Baptists na kasama sa kanilang grupo na ine-entertain itong mga itong mga kamaliang ito. That summer, si Spurgeon, ginatungan niya yung tema ni Schindler. And ang naging resulta nito, a controversy developed and Spurgeon became the focal point of the charges and the Baptist Union, which was bitterly divided over the question, voted to rebuke him or to censure him. Si Spurgeon, nagkaisa yung grupo na i-rebuke si Spurgeon. Naging malaking controversy ito sa Baptist Union. Yan ngayon ang tinatawag na the downgrade controversy. Ito na ang kinamatayan ni Spurgeon dahil sa bigat ng kanyang puso, dahil sa problemang ito. Dito na siya namatay. Dala-dala itong burden na to sa kanyang balikat. Now, bago siya namatay, in Spurgeon's address to the Pastors College Evangelical Association noong April of 1891, he called the preachers to do the following. Ito ang kanyang mensahe sa kanila. Ito yung, hindi ako nagkakamali, huling mensahe niya dito sa Pastors College Evangelical Association. Para sa kanya, itong mga sasabihin niya ang paraan para matigil itong downgrade na to na nangyayari sa mga iglesia. Meron siyang 15 binanggit tungkol dito. Hindi ko na masyado ipaliliwanag ito, mamaya magpapalabas tayo ng ilang mga ng video na kasama ang ilan dito na nabanggit ko at ipinaliwanag ko ron paano natin in-apply ito. Pero ayon sa kanya, here are the 15 things that we need to do, churches need to do, so that they can curb the downgrade that was happening within the churches. One, have as your chief end the glorifying of God. Yun ang sabi niya. Two, have an intense desire to build the church. Of course, not the building, yung mga tao, yung congregation. Be better men, number three. Number four, get clearer views of what we believe. Number five, have more faith. Number six, have more love for souls. Number seven, have a more thorough spirit of self-sacrifice. Number eight, go over the fundamental truths with their hearers more carefully. Number nine, labor distinctly for the immediate salvation of your hearers. Number 10, inculcate with all your might the practice of holiness. Number 11, be careful about the admission of members into the church. Number 12, separate entirely from those likely to cause spiritual injury. Number 13, bind yourselves together more closely. Number 14, remember that past bad times have been followed by good times. And number 15, make the most of prayer. Alam nyo, sa 27 years ko, simula nang humiwalay tayo dun sa former church natin, I've been trying to do the things na nakalagay dito. Yun ang dahilan kung bakit ang pangalan natin, Soli Deo Gloria. Noon, nakakatawa yun eh. Parang, ano? Ano pangalan ng church nyo? Soli ano? Kaya minsan, pag kami nagdadala dito ng sulat noon, nandiyan ba si Solideo de Gloria? Akala niya pangalan ng tao. Hindi, pangalan ng iglesia yon. Yun ang dahilan kung bakit finormalize natin ang church membership natin. Closed membership tayo, hindi open membership. Dahil ito yung sinasabi niya rito, be careful about the admission of members into the church. Dahil maraming churches, open membership eh. Umattend ka lang ng tatlong buwan, member ka na. Pero pagka nagka-problema, pwede kang umalis. Walang pakialam yung pastor. Hindi, pag ginamit mo ng seryoso itong church membership mo, meron ding church discipline. Kaya may church discipline tayo. Etong sinasabi dito ni Spurgeon na sabi niya rito, go over the fundamental truths with their hearers more carefully. Yan ang dahilan kung bakit may series tayo on the gospel that saves. Dahil maraming mga tao, hindi nila alam kung anong ibig sabihin ng ebanghelyo. Yun ang dahilan kung bakit nakikipag-partner tayo sa TMAI at meron tayong the Exposers Academy. Yan ang dahilan. Dahil gusto natin yung mga tao natin lalong malaman yung biblical doctrine. Gusto natin na yung mga magtuturo ng salita ng Panginoon Diyos, alam nilang ipaliwanag ng tama ang salita ng Diyos base sa intensyon ng author na sumulat ng bahagi na yon. Yun ang dahilan. Yun ang dahilan kung bakit itong pinapatayo nating building, halos one-third ng lugar na yon, gusto nating ipagamit sa The Expositors Academy. Dahil gusto natin, tayo rin, mapasa natin itong legacy na to sa iba ring mga iglesia, hindi tayo. Itong dahilan kung bakit ganun ang radio ministry natin. Itong dahilan kung bakit kung ano yung tinuturo ko dito ng linggo ng sunod-sunod, halimbawa sa isang libro tulad ng Colossians, sunod-sunod din piniplay doon sa radio. Kahit yung ibang mga managers ng radio stations, sabi lang, hindi mag-work yan. O yung mga nagsabing hindi mag-work, yung ganong approach ng pagtuturo, dahil doon, lalo na nung pandemic, ilang mga tao na ang lumapit sa akin, sabi, Pastor, salamat sa radio program ninyo, natulungan kami nung time ng pandemic. Ang daming natulungan nung kaparaanan ng expository preaching ng Bible. At sinusunod natin ito. This is walking according to the ancient paths. Yun din ang dahilan kung bakit later on may maririnig kayo. Bakit nag-iba ng curriculum ang children's ministry ng Solideo? Dati ganito ginagamit, ngayon ganito na. May connection yun dito sa walking in the ancient paths. My dear friends, we will lose friends. Mawawalan tayo ng member posible. Dahil hindi nag-a-agree sa atin, mawalan tayo ng mga kaibigan, mawalan ng mga churches. Sabi, anong klase itong mga Solideo? Bakit nila binago bago yung ganito? Bakit nila ginagawa yan? We might lose mga ganong klaseng friendships. But then, we know, this is the responsibility of the leaders. Ito sabi ng Bible na responsibility natin. Kaya nga, nagkaroon tayo ng eldership eh. Ganon kaseryoso, hindi sapat na may isang pastor lang sa church natin. Dapat may board of elders. That's the reason why we did it. Dahil yun ang sabi ng Bible. At dahil may mga elders, hindi lang ako ang nag-iisip at gumagawa ng desisyon. Baka may mali akong desisyon, tatanungin ko yung ibang elder. Brother Rani, anong tingin mo dito? Ano sabi ng Bible tungkol dito? Brother Alan, ano sabi ng Bible tungkol dito? And then we would pray together. We would seek scripture. And then we make a position according to what God teaches. That is the reason why. That is the reason why gusto natin madagdagan pa to add more elders in our church. All that is part of this. How do we preserve this legacy? My dear brothers and sisters, we love you. Kami mga elders, don't think that we're trying to lord it over you. No, we love you. The Holy Spirit has made us, the elders, to be overseers of the church according to Acts chapter 20. And we're doing our best following what Scripture teaches to do what's necessary in order for us to continue to walk according to the ancient paths. And I pray, our prayer is that you will instill this in your mind and in your heart. And you will join us in standing firm in these truths. You will hold on to this, keep this, and then pass it on to those who come who are new in SDG. Pass it on to your children. Pass it on to our young people. Yun ang nais nating gawin. Maraming mga iglesia, hindi nila iniisip yung legacy. They're not thinking of legacy anymore. The legacy they're thinking of is building, lote, etc. No, the legacy we're thinking of is what Scripture teaches. A biblical legacy. And so that's the first. Walking according to the ancient paths. May the Lord bless itong message na to sa ating mga puso. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Therefore, Word, we would have been led astray a long time ago. We would have been promoting the prosperity gospel. We would have been into the charismatic abuses. We would have been into dominion theology. We would have been into pragmatism and all of the errors I mentioned a while ago. But thank you, O God, that in your divine providence, you brought us to go back to the Bible. You allowed us to walk according to the ancient paths principle. You reminded us to stand and to look, not to act on impulse, but rather to be discerning. You wanted us to ask the right questions. What does the Bible say regarding this? What does church history say regarding this? What do discerning pastors and teachers say about this? Oh God, thank you so much. And Lord, you gave us the courage to stand firm and to continue, despite controversy, despite losing friends and even members. Oh God, thank you. Lord, my prayer is, and the prayer of our elders, is that we will remain in the ancient paths, but we will continue to walk in it. We pray, Lord, that this will truly be a legacy that we will hold on and we will hold firmly till the end. Help us, Lord, that we will be able to pass this on to others also in its purity and power. Oh God, thank you so much. Lord, apart from you, we can do nothing. Apart from you, we could easily fail. Apart from you, we could quickly drift. As Lloyd-Jones says, all institutions have a tendency to produce their opposite. It is so possible for us to go into that erroneous path. And so, Lord, we pray, please have mercy upon us, preserve us, protect us, and help us to be steadfast until the end, until Jesus Christ returns. Thank you so much, O God, for allowing me to share this truth during our last anniversary here in this place. Please bless the owners and the board of members of Good Steward Foundation. Thank you for their support. We pray that after we leave this place, you will lead a good church to stay here so that this church, the following church, will also continue to be a beacon of light in this community and salt that will preserve this place from corruption and moral decay. Lord, thank you. And we pray that the next church here will also be strong and firm in holding on to the truths found in Scripture. We pray, Lord, for your mercy and grace to be upon them. Thank you so much, Father. Lord God, we pray that you will really move upon our hearts so that in all aspects of our lives, we will honor and glorify you alone as we become more and more like Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lord. For this is our prayer in Christ's most precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Oh God, we thank you for providing for our needs. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in supporting your work, especially that we have a construction at Maa. We pray, continue to bless your people financially so that they can continue also to support the work. But Lord, even before blessing us financially, please help us to really walk in Christ-likeness every day. Lord, now, as we give, we pray, help us to do it as a form of worship. Accept our offerings. May they be as pleasing sacrifices unto you. And continue to grant wisdom upon our leaders so that these funds will be managed wisely. Now, Lord, continue to pour your blessings upon your people. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenants, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And everyone say amen. Amen.